So the individual that texted in, I'm almost 200 kgs, very tall and strong, active with my kids. My weight can fluctuate from 10 to 20 kgs monthly. I've heard every story under the sun from doctors over 20 years with no success. But recently a doctor told me to seek a thyroid expert. Well, you're very, very much an expert on the thyroid, Keith. So what are your thoughts for this listener?
Well, we can go and look at the standard bloods for this. We could check TSH, T3, T4, reverse T3. We could look at cholesterol to see if that is there's a source of inflammation that's being driven by the thyroid. We can look into lots of other things, body temperature, for example, which is a great indicator of thyroid metabolism. We need a bit more of a history here. Obviously, there's quite a large fluctuation in weight there. It sounds like he's doing exercise, but it doesn't seem to be working for him. So here's a classic case of people who I have seen who supposedly eat healthy by eating maybe lots of raw green vegetables, which is going to suppress the thyroid gland, and are doing exercise, and it's not working for them. And you can get some very simple changes by looking at the gut, by looking at a few basic bloods, and just often getting them to do slightly less exercise, change the diet around, and we see a huge change.
I'm just smiling here because I heard you just say that the raw green vegetables can suppress the thyroid. Do you think that's a bad thing, the raw green vegetables?
When there's thyroid dysfunction, yes, because okay. they are goitrogenic, which means they suppress the thyroid
gland. They?
Yeah, so anything that's kind of raw green brassica-based. Don't get me wrong, broccoli has some great foods, but it needs to be cooked. It has a compound in it called indole-3-carbonide or carbonyl, which has a fantastic a protective effect on the body. But when we eat lots of raw green vegetables, that tends, if you have a thyroid problem, it will suppress it. You often find that people who have thyroid problems actually need a little bit more blood sugar because they're constantly low blood sugar all the time. They need good sources of protein, and they need more cooked vegetables rather than raw green vegetables. And I do tend to find that when I pull people off these thyroid suppressing diets, which is usually lots of raw green vegetables, sometimes vegetable oils as well, a typical so-called healthy diet, and lots of cardiovascular exercise, which can suppress the thyroid gland as well. We think about a low heart rate being really good for you, but it's actually symptomatic of a low functioning thyroid.
So understanding your thyroid is ultimately the key to being able to have a healthy diet.
It's one of many different factors. I mean, we talk about, when I look at someone from a client perspective, I need to work out which system's really dysfunctioning the least, and try and support that, and then build up the other factors that aren't working properly. Usually you need to start with the gut. Like I said, if you're not digesting your food, your body's in a chronic form of stress anyway. Usually if people's thyroids and adrenals aren't functioning properly, the liver's backed up as well. So you need to look at which system you can kind of kickstart to get the best effect from.
I actually had a thyroid test just over a year ago because my doctor thought maybe my anxiety was coming.
Absolutely.
From there.
Yep.
And actually, as it happened, I have no problems with my thyroid. He told me it's actually very rare. Is that right?
What, thyroid?
Thyroid problems, yeah.
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Absolutely not. But again, a lot of doctors will look at TSH. Now, TSH is what's called thyroid stimulating hormone, and they use a marker of 5. Now, there's a big school of thought from a lot of endocrinologists who use 2 as a marker. So there's a lot of people with what's called euthyroid or subclinical hyperthyroidism, and you can see that with weight gain, you can see that with anxiety, you can see it with poor digestion, you can see it with hair falling out, you can see it with the eyebrows thinning, you can see it with fatigue, poor sleep. How many people does that sound like? As I see a lot of people like that. And the thyroid is a key thing. Now, the adrenal glands can go some way to supporting the thyroid, but if the adrenal is dysfunctional as well, that's where you need to start supporting. But I would always start supporting someone's gastrointestinal system. Clear anything out that shouldn't be in there. Get it functioning properly, get the nutrients involved, and then look at things like the thyroid as well.
I'm suffering from acidity. Which oil is healthier to use?
I don't know the answer to that on acidity. It depends on what acidity. The stomach is 3 million times more acidic than the blood, and there's a reason for that, because you need to break down protein, you need to break down vegetable fibers, and there's a lot of needs that. So from a perspective of acidity, where's the acidity? Is it in the stomach? Because sometimes it's quite rare that we have producing too much stomach acid. Sometimes it can be a food intolerance that's driving that. Sometimes it can be a bacteria called Helicobacter pylori, which causes acidity to actually lower in some cases. And sometimes we get problems with the pyloric sphincter, and the what happens is alkaline comes up from the small intestine and irritates the stomach because it's used to being quite acidic. So there are issues like this that need to be considered. So I wouldn't say an oil is specifically good for it.
But you do advise quite often, don't you, to take like a coconut oil in the morning. Now, would you advise that across the board for people? Like, you know, if people are confused and thinking, God, there's so much to take in here, what would be your kind of staple, if you like, across the board for people to start with?
I do get people to have a spoonful of coconut oil every morning. That can have anti-inflammatory effects. It can have antifungal effects on the gastrointestinal system. It's also useful for thyroid as well, because you get a better conversion using coconut oil. So yeah, I do use coconut oil. I do recommend people use ghee as well. I do recommend people use palm oils. Olive oil I like to use as well. I prefer to use olive oil cold, because I think the polyunsaturated fatty acid content of olive oil is about 13 or 14%. Most of the vegetable oils are 20, 30, 40 and above, and they're the things that cause the oxidation. So with the more saturated fats, you get less poofer, you get less oxidation and less of this inflammatory effect that we talk about.
So someone's asking about cooking with olive oil. You wouldn't recommend cooking?
I do, but occasionally, because it does have some polyunsaturated fatty acids. So I tend, if I'm going to cook something, I'll use coconut oil or butter or ghee. Don't get me wrong here, I'm not talking about drinking gallons and gallons of fat every day. I'm talking about having the right amount that supports. And I use coaching forms that tries to look at people's reactions to a diet. And we look at things like body temperature. We look at things like weight and emotional construct and how someone's feeling throughout the week. Because I want to see someone feeling really good. I don't want to see someone's body functioning. They have to be feeling really good as well.
You've thrown around a lot of phrases of different kinds of oils that a lot of people might not recognize. Am I right in thinking that one of the most dangerous oils out there is hydrogenated vegetable oil?
Absolutely, yeah. And a lot of it, I think it's because they run a nickel base through it, and that can cause a lot of the damage. But when you hydrogenate an oil, it basically it's used a lot in foods to enhance the lifespan of the food. But from that means it keeps the product looking good and smelling relatively good, but that's going to cause a lot of damage. And there's quite a lot of research that shows these trans fatty and hydrogenated fats can cause a lot of issues, especially related to cancer and heart disease.
So what sort of products do you think we can find these in, and what should we stay away from?
I generally go for more saturated fat with clients to support their digestion, to support their energy levels throughout the day. Coconut oil is a great, good quality organic coconut oil. You can get that. I think the Organic Cafe do a great organic coconut oil, which is fantastic. I use ghee as well, which I can get from Lulu.
Union Co-op as well.
Really good.
Yeah, you don't have to spend a fortune to do it.
Yeah, especially people with dairy issues as well. Yeah. Ghee tends to remove that milk protein that causes problems.
And with regards to trans fats, and you just need to read the labels of your products, because they slip in there where you don't necessarily expect them to
And
be.
I've seen some health food supplements with hydrogenated vegetable oils, which for me, that's a big paradox.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Here from Victor, sharing his story. I'm 45 years of age, 6'2" male, and feel happier, more energetic, and generally all over well when I eat more meat than veg. If I eat too much veg, I have less energy, and also I tend to gain weight. I'm mindful of eating too much meat, so I exercise daily, drink very little alcohol, eat very little wheat. It seems weird, but works for me, except for the odd chocolate craving, and I've been like this for many years. So it's working for Victor, following that kind of food regime, diet regime.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about biochemical individuality and the thumbprint again. What works for some person is going to be totally different for another, and he sounds like he's onto quite a good thing. The only thing I'd be concerned about there may be a slight magnesium deficiency with craving the chocolate. But yeah, I mean, good approach. I mean, people talk about a paleo approach, which is a really good place to start. A bit more meat, bit more veg, some fruit. I like to have a bit more fruit going into the diet. And I find a lot of paleo people sometimes have been following that program for like 3 or 4 years and start to notice some kind of detriments to their performance coming in. But it's a really good place to start. When you cut out grains, when you cut out some dairy and reintroduce it, that's a good way to start. More fruit and veg, who can argue with that?